time together, Lord, with the brethren. Lord, I just pray that you'll bring our church family close together. Lord, I pray that you'll just bless the...
The Bible tells us to avoid certain people, and even to break fellowship with believers who are not acting correctly. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians 3. Have you ever had an encounter with someone that is just so unreasonable and ridiculous that you just want to, like, choke their eyeballs out of their head? Yeah, Jesse and I have had, for some reason, it's like we're a magnet for just absolutely ridiculous people that, you know, like I said, there's no talking to them. They're, you know,
the Bible says, now we command you, brother,
no reason
in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother.
Super aggravating situation.
Disorderly.
It'll throw you into a
blind
rage.
And not after tradition, which you receive.
The Bible talks about a situation like this.
The Bible calls us,
if you can turn your Bibles to 1 Samuel 25, if we can avoid them with ungodly people who are going to have a negative effect on us. But it says, from every brother. So that's Christians. You know, this is a New Testament verse. Given to a New Testament church in the age of grace.
And this is an encounter that David had with a man named Nabal.
Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walked disorderly, and not
after
the tradition which you received of us.
1 Samuel 25.
And it says, for yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we behaved not ourselves disorderly.
Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together.
Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught,
and buried him,
but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you.
And there was a
not
man
because we have
in
not
Naom,
power,
whose possessions
but
were
to make
Carmel,
ourselves an example
man was very
unto you
to
and
follow
he had 3,000 sheep,
for even
and
when
1,000
we with
goats,
you,
and he was
this
hearing
we commanded
his
sheep
in
Carmel.
That if any would not work,
the name of the man was
eat.
Nabal.
And for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly,
of good understanding,
not at all, but are
and
busy
of a beautiful countenance.
Now them that
but
are
the man was churlish,
such
evil in
man, and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ,
and he was the house
that
he was of the house
of
Caleb,
and eat their own bread.
And David,
but ye brethren, be
and
not
David heard in the wilderness
well-doing.
That Nabal did shear his sheep.
Obeyed not
David
our
sent
word,
out 10 young men.
Not our word.
David
by
said
this epistle,
them,
note that man and have
said
no
unto the young men,
him,
get you up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet
yet
him in my name.
Count him not as an enemy.
And thus shall ye say to him,
him
that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee and peace be to thine
so
house.
That's a, you know,
and peace
that's
be
the same
unto
idea.
All that thou hast.
In church. This isn't somebody else.
And now I've heard
church.
That thou hast
this is,
shears.
You know, if some,
now the shepherds
people, and then there's other
which were with
too,
us, we heard them not. Neither were
from
neither was there aught missing
even in the church
unto them
who aren't
all
acting
while they were
correct
in
way.
Ask thy young men, and they will show thee.
Put pressure on that person.
Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh
to
thy hand unto thy servants and to thy son David.
Ostracize
and when David's young men came, they spake to
Nabal
according to all these words in the name of David, and ceased.
Unproper behavior.
And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse?
The fifth lesson we can learn from the story of David and Nabal is
there
found
be many
in
servants
words
nowadays
out
that
David
break or that Nabal
away every
dead.
Man from his
so
master.
Turn back to 1 Samuel 25. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?
First
so
Samuel
David's young men turned their way
39.
And went again and came and told him all the sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his
and
sword.
When David heard
and
that
David also
dead,
girded on his sword.
He said, blessed be the Lord.
And there went up after David about 400 men
and
200 abode by the stuff.
And kept his servant from evil. For the
but
Lord
one of the young men told Abigail,
of Nabal
Nabal's wife,
head,
saying, behold, David,
David
sent messengers out of the wilderness
to
salute our master. And he railed,
to him,
and he railed on
to wife.
But the men were very good
David
unto
acknowledged
us,
that
and
the
not
Lord
hurt,
kept him
neither
from
missed
evil
we any
intentions,
as long as we
and were
and then
David should
them,
leave it up to the Lord to handle
when they were in the fields.
They were a wall.
Turn your Bibles to Romans 12,
night and day,
all the while
verses 18 and 19,
were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot
says,
speak
if it
to
be
him.
Possible, as much
so,
lieth in you, live
David has this encounter
with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves.
And the reality of the situation
under
is,
wrath,
at some point in our life, we're going to have to deal with people
repay,
like this.
Saith the Lord.
And you know, the sad part is there's you know,
it's
there's
just not
like
it's not our
work.
Place.
Sometimes there's people like this in a family.
Should leave things up to
sometimes
the Lord.
It might be someone at church that drives you crazy.
It's a
but
demonstration
this idea
of our faith
somewhat
on
God,
not thinking rationally, not you know, The sixth lesson that we can learn from this story, I think,
you're unable to talk to them
in light of the self-defense classes that are beginning.
We need to be prepared to discern how to navigate these kinds of situations. I'm sure the Bible gives us guidance on how to deal with people like this, they'd be absolutely appalled that we'd be one thing of just someone irritating.
But there's also it comes all the way to the point where
in the world position that people always want to say our lives and then be a threat to us.
Violence is never the answer.
The Bible tells us the truth of the matter. It's not a story to make.
The matter is
David
that it's a fallen
good.
World,
and the Bible tells of people's shortcomings, told of Moses' shortcomings,
David's shortcomings,
we
Peter's
can't
shortcomings.
Necessarily rely
in this story, it tells us that David's initial reaction was a wrong
David's
reaction.
Men, they were all warriers. Every one
I
of
think
them
a lot of times
when we're offended,
our emotions take over.
And it can take time for us to calm down.
They had that ability. They could have done it.
And seek God's will on a matter through
the
prayer.
The decision
the
to do
Bible
so would have been wrong. Counsel.
But having the capability
David
to protect yourself
and those
exception
around
in this
you,
initial
not
handling
condemned
of the situation.
By God.
Violence is verse 21. It says, David
now,
said in Psalm 1,
now David had said,
verse 1,
surely in vain
blessed be the Lord
have
my
I
strength,
kept all
which teaches
that
my
hands
to war
and
my fingers to
so
fight.
That nothing was missed out of that pertained unto him. And he
turn your
Bible
to Luke 22 for good.
Verses,
so
35,
his intention was to
kill everybody associated with Nabal. He was gonna
kill Abigail. He was gonna kill his servants. He was gonna kill everybody associated with them. Abigail knew Nabal's character. She went to make it right with David. Verses 18 through 20.
Luke
22,
says, then Abigail
made haste and took 200 loaves
and, he said
and
them,
two bottles of wine
when I sent you without
and five sheep ready
and
shoes
and
five measures of parched corn and 100
and
clusters
them,
of raisins
but now, he that
and 200
had the purse,
cakes of figs
let him take it,
and laid them
and
on
likewise
asses.
His scrip and he that has no
and she said unto her servants go on before
Bible.
Me behold I come after you
Jesus
but she told not her husband Nabal and it was so and she rode on the ass and she came down by the covert of the hill and behold David and his men came down against her and she met
a lot of the zealots had this idea that this was a worldly kingdom, that
now
it was
verse,
time for Jesus to come and rule. And
23
to
through 31,
kick the Romans out and
Abigail
and establish
seeks
a worldly kingdom. That wasn't
seeks
it.
David's forgiveness in this situation.
And that's not what Jesus was advocating. But he did
it says, when Abigail saw David, she hastened to light off the ass and fell before David on her face
himself.
And bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet.
Look at
said,
Romans
13, upon me,
13,
my Lord, upon
4.
Me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial,
Romans 13,
even
4.
Nabal, for his name is, so he is he.
It says, for
Nabal
he is the minister
his
of
name,
God to thee
folly
for good.
Is with him.
But if
but
thou
I
thy handmaid saw not
afraid,
the young man
for he
of
beareth
Lord,
not the sword
in
vain, for he is the minister
now,
of God.
Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth,
wrath
and as the soul liveth, seeth
evil.
Seeing the Lord has withholding
thee
from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now
the,
let
the idea around this
that they may
is
seek
that
evil
the
to
Lord,
Lord
established
be
governments who rule with
and now
in a sense,
this blessing which
thy
handmaids
have
brought
violence.
Unto
people
my Lord, let it be given
that.
Unto
they
the young men
no,
that follow
you know,
my Lord.
America's
I pray thee,
progressive,
the trespass
and more intelligent,
for
and educated, and
make my Lord
all this other stuff. The fact
because
of the matter
Lord
is, if you look in
the
U.S., the
of the Lord,
about 2 million people
have not
that
been
are
found
incarcerated
all that day.
That they're in jail.
Yet a man has risen to pursue
I'm
them.
I'm guessing that
and
most
seek
of them
soul,
didn't just
the
turn
soul of my Lord
in.
Shall be bound right. In the bundle of life.
The government
of the Lord
is established,
and the souls of thine enemies,
laws, and through them shall sing out.
Police
as of the
armies
and everything else. They
and it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done. To my Lord, according to all the good that he has
go
spoken
against
order,
and shall
have appointed
through
rule
violence,
over
they're
going to
be stopped.
Once again,
violence that the government
Abigail sees the situation.
Vote,
she's an intelligent woman.
We're voting for the
she's married to
that we
a
want
guy
to
who's
hold
a
the
fool,
sword
that the,
want
to
be in control.
And such a well-known
that we
fool,
want to
the
be
servants
in
felt
and
comfortable,
to, you know, establishing
telling,
the order that we want,
you know, speaking to Abigail and saying, you know how you know evil
and
true.
Last thing
that
we shouldn't be surprised about is even talk to him.
When Jesus came to earth, what happened?
And then once again, Nabal is referred to as a man of Belial by his own wife.
What's going to happen?
The Webster's 1828 dictionary defines Belial,
what
it's used as a noun,
would you,
is unprofitable.
You know, come into contact with Jesus, who's perfect and
it's
holy.
Wickedness.
Love
as an adjective,
good,
worthless
and
wicked,
embodiment
and in
of,
a collective
of,
sense,
I mean,
wicked
of
men.
Everything that's wonderful.
The Bible uses the term
kill
in
what
both the Old and New Testament.
It's
not just
a good guy
sense.
Who made a mistake,
but
that is
what
happened
that we're dealing
with.
The first time Jesus came, they killed him.
The second time
had
he
Abigail
comes,
not
whole,
acted
you know,
quickly
a good
and in a wise manner,
gathered
against
David
and
his anger
would have killed her,
which obviously would have been a mistake.
And that's
and
not
a wrong
the ending that Jesus desired.
And David acknowledged
that's not what
that.
He wanted.
If you look at verses 32 and 33.
Turn your Bibles to Revelation 20.
David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand." So David admits that this was his reaction was wrong, and that the fact that Abigail came to him and talked him down, in a sense, was
a thousand years
was a blessing.
Expired, she'll be loosed out of his prison.
And now the Lord intervened later and returned Nabal's wickedness on his own head. If you look at verse 36,
the number of whom is the sand of the sea. So that's a large, you know, that's a huge number.
It says, "And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken.
And wherefore
she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light." So this is that's not the
ending
that God desired.
He's at a situation where David is coming to kill him, and he's drunk. His wife has to go out and petition for him, and save basically the whole family and all their whole, you know, all these people there need to be saved.
Second Peter 3, verse 9 says, "The Lord
is not
slack."
And I don't know if you've ever dealt with somebody who's
promised.
Got a drug or alcohol problem.
Slack,
they're just long suffering, blessing to talk to.
Not willing to
try
any reason
with them,
to try
that all should come to repentance.
They make no sense at all.
That's God's intention.
Abigail,
this must have been a habit of Nabal's,
because Abigail says, "You know what, I'm going to wait him and be saved, even
talk to him."
That's not what happens. So in verse 37, it says, "But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal,
and
as
his
wife had
told
him these things,
that his heart died within
this situation
him,
will come,
became
that unreasonable
stone.
And wicked men
and
will come
came
against
the Lord
about
Jesus
10 days
and after
destroy
that,
him,
that
the
Lord
smote
Nabal
and
he died."
They'll meet the end that they deserve.
So, you know, so should come to no surprise.
The Lord saw fit
that David's experience
to take
with Nabal,
this evil man,
should come
out
as no
of the
surprise. When we come in contact with wicked people who try to frustrate
and
ensnare our souls,
and it should come to no surprise that people
give his wife,
Jesus,
who was
killed
on
a
wise
woman,
to David.
And trying to kill
wife,
him again,
David later came back and
took her as a wife. So,
that's all I got.
Does
anyone have any comments on that?
Story? All right, so we're reading a story about David with a weird encounter with this guy. What are the lessons that we can apply to our life? The first one is that in our lifetime, we'll undoubtedly be forced to deal with people like Nabal. I don't know about you, but I have dealt with people like this. I've dealt with a lot of people like this. Like I said, they're in the workforce. Sometimes they're in your own family. Sometimes they're, you know, in school, wherever. There's always somebody like this. So we need to be ready to deal with people like that. If you look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. We've made this connection before. And it's 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. Says, "And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Unreasonable and wicked, those things put together. It's put together for a reason. If someone, the Bible is a rational book. The Bible makes sense. If you're walking with the Lord and you're walking in the Spirit, you will make sense. You're not going to be a wicked and unreasonable person. You'll look at all sides. You'll be objective. People can talk to you. You'll be approachable. You'll be friendly. You'll be able to, you know, take correction, all these sorts of things. But if someone's wicked and unreasonable, they don't have any of these things. So we need to be aware that there are these kinds of people out here, and that the Bible does give us guidance on how to deal with people like this. The second lesson that we need to learn is not to sin in our anger. David, you know, he was upset, and he thought it reasonable. And when we're angry, we can think it reasonable to take these extreme measures. David thought it was a reasonable step, because he was angry, to go kill, you know, 200 people or whatever it was. It seemed reasonable to him. It seemed like a good decision. But that's not, we can't be run by our emotions like that. People like this are enraging, and our emotions could take over, but we need to give that time. We need to
seek counsel, let our spirit catch up to our emotions. The Bible calls us not to sin in our anger. If we turn to Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. It says, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil." So it's okay to, we're going to get angry. I mean, it's okay to have an initial reaction and get angry, but it says to sin not. And if David would have given way to his emotion and given way to his anger, he would have sinned, and he admits that. So the Bible calls us to not be run by our emotions. We should be run by the Spirit. Third lesson here is the role of pride in these conflicts. Nabal was very prideful and did not want to acknowledge David's position and the kindness shown by Nabal, or the kindness that David showed to Nabal. At this time in David's life, he had already killed Goliath. He was the king's son-in-law. He had been anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. He was renowned for his service to Saul. So he, you know, and Abigail knew his reputation. Abigail, in verse 28, says, "I pray thee forgiveness of the trespass of thy handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days." So she knew that he went up against Goliath. He knew that he was one of Saul's servants. She knew his reputation of goodness, that evil has not been found in thee all thy days. So she knew who he was. And Nabal also knew full well who David was. If you look at verses 10 and 11, and it says, "And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse?" So he knows who David is. He knows who David's dad is. He knows who David's family is. He says, "There are many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master." So in a sense, he's insulting him because he knows he's at odds with Paul, with Saul, and that they're broken away. So Nabal knew full well who David was. He knew the whole situation. But in his pride and wickedness, he did not want to show David any honor or give him anything in return for his kindness. On David's end, his pride was stung with David when Nabal insulted him. And in his pride and his anger, he was on his road to committing a sin. But then the Lord sent Abigail and prevented David by sinning, by avenging himself. The fourth lesson we can learn from this is if we can avoid dealings with people like this, we ought to. David did not have to have dealings with Nabal. David assumed that if he acted kindly to Nabal, that Nabal would respond kindly back. It's a reasonable idea. If I'm out here and I'm watching and helping his shepherds, it's reasonable to think that person would want to return the favor and give us a little something to, you know, defeat us for helping him. That's reasonable, but it was mistaken. And I don't know if you've ever heard has anyone ever heard the fable of a scorpion and a frog? Anyone ever heard this? It's a scorpion asks a frog for a ride across the river. The frog hesitates, afraid of being stung by the scorpion. But the scorpion assures the frog, he says, "If I sting you, we're both going to drown. We're both going to die." So after hearing that and considering this, the frog agrees. But midway across the river, the scorpion stings the frog, dooming them both. The frog asks the scorpion why he did this. The scorpion says, "I'm a scorpion. It's in my nature to do so." So some people are just wired a certain way. Some people are just destructive, and they're better left just not dealing with them. You can strike up what seems to be a reasonable deal with people like this, but in the end, you're going to be sorry. And the Bible calls us to watch out for who we let into our lives. Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." 1 Corinthians 15:33, it says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." I don't know if you've ever, you know, they talk about like missionary dating or you know, these kinds of things.